Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas with The Grapevine at SaverLife.com. And don't worry, snowflakes in the air today do not mean that spring is delayed. It just means it's March. And we actually get a fair amount of snow in March. So I'm just glad that most of the old dirty snow piles are gone and we can see some spring bulbs. And so some of the reports from the vineyards word of mouth through Cornell and through their grape program is that looks like most of the vines have survived winter so far. It hasn't gotten too cold for them, although that was closest last week. I guess Cornell said that right now, and this is according to Gene Pierce from Glenora, who was reporting about it in his Glenora Gazette, that Cornell said that the grapes were probably able to tolerate 14 to 16 degrees at this point as a low temperature. And this past week, it got down to 13 degrees. Of course, it also got up to near 70. So just an average week in March in the Finger Lakes. And so they're hopeful that there's been very little damage, at least so far this winter. And, of course, that can change. I was thinking just yesterday, driving home from the Philadelphia Flower Show quite a few years ago, and it's always in March, although this year they moved it to June because of the pandemic, but usually in March, right around now. And I remember looking just this flashback photo memory, and I don't usually have photo memories like this, but we were on a bus coming back from the flower show in the mountains, you know, as you come up through Pennsylvania back to Rochester, and it read -9, and that just was, that was just way too cold for March. It's a cold night in, you know, in January and February, but March, -9. So it's chilly today. Wind chill will keep you, you're wearing your winter jacket, but it's been colder this time of the year. There was also a year we had a week of 80-degree weather in March, which was really bizarre, and that's the kind of thing that had the potential to really devastate the vines because it brings them out of dormancy. And you know, this past week, we had a couple days that were in the 60s, which felt great, maybe even near 70. But you know, that wasn't enough to bring the grapes out of dormancy. When it comes for like 5 days, then it's trouble because late frosts can really damage those grapes. So far this year, we're good. I think the wineries, you know, would like to see it stay cool and no big warm-ups quickly. And so far, that's what the forecast looks like. And, of course, the maple syrup producers want the same thing. They want just what we have now, generally above freezing during the day and below freezing at night. This past week, the winners of the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition were announced. And this is the largest annual wine competition in the United States. Many thousands of wines, often around 3,000 reds and 3,000 whites. And almost always, and I got to go back and make certain of this because I think it's true, but I have not written down the exact data. I think the Finger Lakes has a best of class winner like every year for the last 10 years. That puts them in the sweepstakes for best white wine or best red wine, and which the Finger Lakes has won 4 times in the last decade in San Francisco. That's twice by Cuca Spring Vineyards, once for Riesling, once for Gewürztraminer, and twice by Dr. Frank, once for Riesling, once for Gewürztraminer. So, and there was at one point, the Finger Lakes has not won best white wine in a number of years. There was at one point we had won like 4 out of 6 years best white wine, which was really crazy. But since then, we've come close. There's been a number of wines that have been in that sweepstakes for best white. And this year, it is Vignoles from Cuca Spring Vineyards. Congratulations to them. And you know, this is inexpensive white wine. I think it's like $15 and a great bargain. It's a French-American hybrid, also known as Rivat 51, although you don't see that on labels. And I'm not sure why it had that name originally, except maybe as a when it was an experimental grape and before it was given the name Vignoles. But Cuca Spring Vineyards is one of the key wineries using Vignoles and really doing some delicious wine. I think also Anthony Road uses it for late harvest, which is really delicious and also really relatively inexpensive. So I also saw a note that Weiss Vineyards, Peter Weiss on Cuca Lake, said that they got several great medals at the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition. Double gold for their Chardonnay, double gold for their Grüner Veltliner, gold for their dry Riesling, gold for their semi-dry Riesling. So congratulations to them. And that's one of the newer wineries in the Finger Lakes. They're just putting up a new building. They've been doing that construction. And if you look them up on Facebook, you can see Peter climbing out of the hole next to the foundation of the new building with these two bottles of wine. It's almost like he's you know, pulled them out of the earth or something. And he's also posted some really adorable shots with his baby, maybe not so much a baby at this point, but I'm terrible at telling the age. Very, very young child that is been bringing into the winery and posted a couple of really adorable photos. So Weiss, Weiss Vineyards, Hammondsport. He's from Germany. Came to work at Dr. Constantin Frank, as a number of other key winemakers in the Finger Lakes have done, and is making some awesome wines at Weiss Vineyards. They're right next to Domaine Le Sueur, which is a French couple, and just another sign of the international interest in the Finger Lakes. Both those wineries have some really extraordinary wines if you haven't visited them. And also both of them just super nice people. Just great people. So put the east side of Cuca Lake on your list of places to visit in the near future. But this the San Francisco competition has some interesting sort of side notes to it. I looked up the semi-dry Riesling category, and Chateau Saint Michel, Dr. Lucin, won that for Columbia Valley, Washington Riesling at $20 a bottle. Wagner Vineyards from the Finger Lakes got a double gold, and that's at $14.99, and they have consistently had their Rieslings are inexpensive and consistently winning some really top scores, top awards. Double gold means that all the judges in the panel that tasted that flight of wines felt it was a gold medal winning wine. A gold medal means that most of them thought that, but a double gold means it was unanimous. It's usually four judges who are on a tasting panel. And again, $15 a bottle for their semi-dry Riesling. And there was another winery that in this list, and it's winejudging.com if you want to just look it up. And it's, I don't know, I think it's kind of interesting because you run into things like this, Rustic Roots Winery. And it shows the AVA as American, so I had to look up Rustic Roots to see what this place is. And it's actually a winery in Minnesota. It got a double gold medal for their Riesling. They don't grow a lot of Riesling in Minnesota, and that's probably why the AVA is American, because these were not Minnesota grapes in this Riesling. If you go to their website for Rustic Roots Winery, they grow Frontenac, several different ones, different Frontenac grapes, Itasca, Marquette, Brianna, Petite Pearl, and La Crescent. These are grapes that, there is some Marquette in the Finger Lakes, but you might find La Crescent up in the Thousand Islands. These are many of the Minnesota hybrids that can take minus 40 degrees below zero. So, I mentioned minus 9 earlier, these grapes can take minus 40. Very tough grapes, but Riesling is not one of the ones that can tolerate that. Riesling and the vinifera really start to suffer about minus 10. And a few years ago, we had minus 18 in Geneva. Those kinds of temperatures cause some really serious damage, not just to the grape production, but to the vines themselves. So this winery in Minnesota, for one thing, it's very new. I was checking their website because I remember there was a winery in Wisconsin, Wollersheim, which was using, maybe still does, Riesling grapes from the Finger Lakes, and had won some awards for their Rieslings using Finger Lakes grapes. But it looks like this Rustic Roots Winery in Minnesota is using Washington grapes for their Riesling. But I mention it for a couple of reasons. One, a Minnesota winery winning a double gold medal at the San Francisco Chronicle Wine Competition is for a Riesling is that's pretty amazing. It's a $21 Riesling, and this is again a relatively new winery, and looks like a young family that owns it, bringing in grapes from Washington and getting double gold at one of the top competitions in the country, and that's extraordinary. So congratulations to them. It's also a sign of the competition, the quality of the winemakers, the quality of the grapes, the quality of the competition for the Finger Lakes around the United States. And right now we are the preeminent wine region east of the Rockies, but I've said many times there are a lot of other regions that are gunning for our status in Ohio and in North Carolina and Virginia, in many states, Michigan, making tremendous wines that are in some cases outscoring Finger Lakes wines, we can't rest on our laurels. And the winemakers in the Finger Lakes are not resting on their laurels, but I think that that New York State, in its promotion of wine in New York and grape growing in New York State, is kind of resting on its laurels and just kind of letting the wineries handle it, and the tourism organizations, which are there's a number of those. They do a really good job, but from what I've read anecdotally, other states are spending a lot more money to promote their wine industries, and they're trying to overtake the Finger Lakes or come up to our status in terms of a wine region. So that's one of the reasons I find these wine competitions interesting, because they're in many cases wineries from states you didn't even think made wine. They're scoring well, doing a great job. So again, winejudging.com. You can get more details on those. And it's some really great bargains in wines from our area. These $15 or less for double gold winning wines. Congratulations. Also, there was a Nevada actually won. They had the best Gewürztraminer and dry Riesling, a Nevada winery. So that was for the bone dry Riesling category. And as I said earlier, the Finger Lakes has won best Gewürztraminer a couple of times. This time, again, a Nevada winery winning that in the San Francisco International San Francisco Wine Competition. This is just wines from North America. If you have comments, questions, you can always send me an email, michael@savorlife.com. The New York Wine and Food Classic is going to be announcing, I think, the Governor's Cup in a week or later this week, March 18th. So keep your eyes open for that. We'll talk about that next week. That is for the best wine in New York State, usually about 900 entries in that. And that's a lot of lot of wines from throughout New York State. These wines are from Long Island and Thousand Islands and Western New York, Hudson Valley, etc. Also, I forgot to mention the San Francisco Wine Competition results. There was a winery from the Finger Lakes called Robinia Hill, which got a silver medal for their dry Riesling. And again, really well done for a new winery, $20 Riesling and a dry Riesling. So I hadn't heard of them. They're on Skinny Atlas Lake. This is a winery that has a tasting room in Ballston Lake, just north of Albany. So, and Robinia, it's named after the Robinia trees on the property, it's a Latin name for locust. And one of the website says that the barrels can be made from these locust trees. It's not clear from their website whether they use barrels made with locust, which I haven't heard of, but locust is a very tough wood. And it's possible that they're making barrels from the property, or they may be referring to, in the past, long time ago, people used the locust to make wine barrels, at least maybe here in this area. So interesting tidbit. I just noticed this morning doing some research for the show that they mentioned the locust barrels. So we'll see. I doubt they're using locust barrels, but it'd be kind of fun if they were. Oak is really like oak and redwood. Redwood is often used, and redwood in particular is very rot resistant, and so is locust, actually. So that may be part of the link and reason that locust is sometimes used or was used in the past for making barrels. I remember I was working just kind of turning over a compost pile, and there were some little sticks in it that I tried to break up and couldn't do it. And these were not big sticks. They were pretty small. They were what I thought were half rotten anyway, and I could not break these little sticks. They were locust, often used for fence posts. In the past, colonial days, locust made, and these are black locust, I think, not the honey locust, but black locust made tremendous fence posts. They would never rot. These days, we use pressure-treated wood, but It would actually be kind of interesting to see whether a black locust fence post could outlast a pressure treated fence post. My guess is it would by a lot, actually. So we'll see if these barrels, if they're using barrels made from locust, but they do not have a tasting room in the Finger Lakes. As far as I can tell, they have a sister winery in Ballston Lake called Galway Rock Winery, and that's where they offer their wines from Robinia Hill. They have Cabernet Franc. They have and two Rieslings, a dry and a semi-dry Riesling from Robinia Hill. You can probably order them online. And they say they hope to offer vineyard picnic days this summer in 2021. So the vineyards are on Skaneateles Atlas Lake, and interested to meet them and find out more details, robiniahillvineyard.com. If you run into a new winery, a new restaurant, etc., send me an email, michael@saverlife.com. I was just in Canandaigua visiting Cheshire Farms Creamery, the new ice cream shop in Canandaigua. Really good ice cream. And noticed two restaurants, one about to open, Kick's, and another one, Nick's Chop House, that's been open where Rio Tomatlan was. And it looks like both of them have rooftop dining, which, you know, today's probably not a great day for that, given cold and wind, not to mention some snow flurries. But as spring arrives, especially Nick's Chop House must have a really great view of Canandaigua Lake. Can't wait to go up and check that out. And it's another option for outdoor dining, again, once it gets warmer, where you may not realize there are several restaurants here this spring that'll have rooftop dining in Canandaigua. Oh, again, email me if you have comments and questions, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back with gardening, restaurants, Discover the Finger Lakes next Saturday, and the Grapevine here on Sundays. I hope you didn't mind losing an hour of sleep this morning. It's time to spring forward. Have a great day. Michael Warren Thomas here at SaverLife.com.